Hey, folks, sit back, relax, get your favorite libation, your favorite snack. The Geocaching Podcast is coming at you right about now.
You want to know how to find it. Seek it out when they hide it. You know it's in the bag when it's an easy grab. But come on, take a chance now. So go, 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 geocache, geocache. And if you need help, we're right there in a flash. If you got a question, just call in and ask. Uncover the stash on the Geocaching Podcast. The Geocaching Podcast.
Welcome to the Geocaching Podcast, episode 507, recorded live on August 9th, 2017. I'm your host, Head Hard Hat with
Scott Burks,
Cos427, and
Info Barrett.
You can join our chat room and watch our live video stream, plus participate with us as we record this episode. All this and more can be found at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. Please be sure to check contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. Also find us on Twitter at geocachingpodcast.com/Twitter and Facebook at geocachingpodcast.com/Facebook. This episode is sponsored by our good patrons of the Geocaching Podcast. To become a contributing patron, simply click on our Patreon logo on our webpage to help keep our podcast going. For all of us at the Geocaching Podcast, we thank you. Yes, we are in the final week, the fourth week of Captain Mary Hyde, and yes, I'm finally getting it where I'm not saying Mary Kay. That's always great.
That's when it ends,
right when you get used to it. But yeah, I actually went out with wife Amy, and we got our qualifying geocaches for the last week. This week's going to be a little different, though, and we'll go into the details on that in a little bit. But you're going to actually have to work for it a little bit. Unless you're really sneaky like pirates, and then you don't have to work for it.
But
I'm just saying. But yeah, that was pretty good. We went out, got some geocaches, and I plan on going out tomorrow and picking up a few myself because I want to figure out how this difficulty terrain thing works. And again, we'll go into that in a little bit.
Yeah, so I was surprised at my points today for the one cache that I did get.
Really?
But yeah. We'll go into it.
All right, just a few minutes. So hang on, folks. All right, Mr. Scott. Holy cow!
Yes, sir.
I was just reading the show notes. You've been a little busy making up for lost time.
I mean, it's been about 6 months since Jesse and I have gone out. So we got about 70 plus, a little over 70 for the weekend. Had a good day. I mean, it was really a good weekend, not a good day. Sunday was beautiful. And we just had fun. I mean, it was the first weekend we had no kids, and we actually went out and, you know, just cached all weekend. It was real fun.
Wow, that's awesome.
So we got West Bend this coming weekend. So.
Yeah, we're going to be interested. Are you going to be able to talk? Because if I remember right, Chad, you're out next week?
Yes.
Okay. So
I'll be here.
Okay, you'll be here and be able to talk about West Bend?
I will be here to be able to talk about West
Bend. All right, that's what we'll center on there, so that'll be good stuff.
I will be here, but work firewalls and tech support permitting.
Ah, good. Hey, we'll take it one step at a time, whatever works.
Yeah.
Taz, how about yourself?
We got cooled off a little bit this weekend. We had a good water gun or water bucket fight, the 10th annual North versus South Super Soaker event down at the American River. And then, so that was fun. Swaddled a little bit too much water from the American River. I'm not, and bugs and other critters included. So, you know, if I had a stomach ache, it truly was a stomach ache.
Yeah, they're California bugs. They're all clean.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
And then managed to grab a cache and a DNF today while my wife was having a little procedure.
Oh, all right. She's okay, though.
She's okay. Just, you know, a little groggy from the anesthesia. Nothing serious, nothing major, just
stuff to get through
when you get at a certain age.
Ah, yes, indeed. Not that I'd know that either. But especially out of me, out of all you guys, I'm just saying, I run into that a little more than you do. Anyhow, so yeah, good stuff. I was curious, though, you said the South won. How did they measure the winners from the losers in something like this?
I think whatever side brags the most. gets to claim who won. So I mean, Sandy, you know that the North really failed.
Oh, again. Wow! So, there you go.
Well, even though you did pour a bucket of cat litter on me.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
Not literally. It was a bucket of water, but it was in a kitty litter bucket.
I was going to say, anybody get a video?
Kitty litter was clean.
Yeah, she thought about it.
Wow.
Said next time.
All right. So it sounds like good things happen at said Super Soaker event. That's awesome.
Well, I grabbed a couple this week. Ironically, one of them was a D5 puzzle. I've been sitting on the solution for about 3-4 months.
Ah.
Now, you have no idea how tempting it was just to delete that log and relog it for this week's challenge. There is another D5 that I can go and get the other side of town, but I'll see. Anyway, I had to go up to about an hour and a half out of Wellington at the weekend, so I finally picked up the last three caches I was missing in Levin. Apart from one that's not there, it had a string of DNFs on it. The cache owner is ignoring and needs maintenance on, so we'll see what happens there. But I did feel slightly chuffed when one of the ones I found had been DNF'd by somebody with 40,000 finds previously.
Oh boy, okay, that's a good clue it's not there.
It was there.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, even he can have an off day. He's human.
Yes.
And he does log his DNF, so well done to you.
Wow.
And the other hobby is I started working on a new GeoArt, well, new to me, GeoArt series down south of, just out of Christchurch. It's called Metal Mania, and it's based on all sorts of death metal bands, which is not a genre I know anything about.
Oh, come on. You're a headbanger. I know it.
So is it shaped like an axe?
No, it's shaped like, it's this classic shape like a couple of fingers.
Oh, all right.
It's called Metal Mania. So if any of you want to go and improve your knowledge of obscure bits of music, you're very welcome to.
Wow. Now, the funny part is you actually brought up one of the bands you were asking me about just before the show, and they're actually out of Raleigh. I never heard of them, so that tells you how much I'm into it. So, yeah, it's and it had a really delightful name. I looked them up. What was the name of the band?
Corrosion of Conformity or something.
Yes, Corrosion of Conformity. And it's they kind of have the old black and white 20s silver plate look to their picture. And basically, if all you have to imagine for if you're going, I don't understand, just imagine Keith Richards now. And basically all he is now is the chemicals that he's had over the years is all that's left. He's an animatron. That's what they kind of look like. They kind of look like, you know, literally, I can't say Walking Dead because Walking Dead had too much life to him compared to what these guys look like. So yeah, interesting band. But you know, hey, and all the bangers out there that want to trash me, just write the head hard head at, you know, geocachingpodcast.com and I'll take it.
This shows you can make a GeoArt series out of absolutely anything.
Anything, absolutely. Wow, good stuff. All right, let's move on to the podcast roundup, letting our viewers know what's going on in the geocaching podcasting community. What's coming up this week on GeoGearheads is episode 293, Live Streaming 3. Now, does this sound like Daryl or not? It says, back by listener request, we're talking about various streaming services available, some of the do's and don'ts, and some of the new development, including the Live Stream 360 video. So it's one of those things that I could just picture him with the, you know, the dome head, a wraparis that they put on with the football shoulder pads and the 80 cameras coming out. And that's our friend Daryl. He kind of likes this stuff.
Yes, yeah, he does.
Don't do it at a nude beach.
Speaking of Daryl got engaged, by the way.
I did not hear that.
Yeah, it was on Facebook, yeah.
Wow, congratulations to Daryl and the fiance.
Yeah, Renee.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Engaged.
He has. You know,
he finally pulled the trigger.
He finally got there and just, you know, either so is that more just a submission move or
I don't know.
Sorry, I was just about to sneeze, so hopefully I'm safe.
He's going to have a wife now. So he's got to curb his spending. You can't.
Oh, there it goes, man.
Throw the toys there.
Yeah, you know that camera you just got? Guess what?
First comes the wife, then comes the baby.
Well, we wish all the best for him. And you know, just remember, misery loves company. Just join in. Wow, good stuff. If you would, please consider becoming a patron to our show. All you have to do is go to geocachingpodcast, the other one, .com, and we have our PayPal and our Patreon logos. If you click on that, if you can throw a couple bucks our way, we'd greatly appreciate it. It helps keep the show running and pays for the bills. So thank you for the folks that are currently doing that. And if you're on the fence, get off the fence and step on by. And if you can't afford it, please throw us a couple bucks, and we would greatly appreciate it. All right, now this is going to be an interesting talk, and I'll let Scott be the person. We don't have an actual theme yet for the GCPC mailbag, and if you want to send in stuff, all you have to do is send in your comments, your questions, your milestones, anything that's going on to gcpcmailbag@gmail.com, and we get these cool. This is a cool letter, and it's international, so we'll say that about one of our international hosts. I wonder who it is,
and you can tell where it's from because it starts by complaining about the weather.
Exactly. So, Mr. Scott, you got that in front of you?
Sure.
Awesome.
I will. Yes, I do. Yes, you want to read it?
Please.
Okay. Hey guys, greetings from the UK. We are enjoying a typical English summer. Today it rained for 6 hours and the temperature reached the giddy heights of 16 Fahrenheit. Oh, 61
Fahrenheit.
Fahrenheit.
16. Oh, not that bad.
I've been listening to your show probably 4 years now and really enjoy your banter and good advice. My other half, Tracy, and I have been geocaching for about 8 years, and we should get our 8,000th cache this weekend.
Woo!
Woo-hoo!
However, there is something that has to be said.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
Sarah, where do you come from? references to being raised in England and referring to being English born and bred. So what on earth is a cache? Sarah, it's a cache. According to Oxford Dictionary, the word cache is pronounced cash, where the simple J is pronounced she, and although the word cache is not defined in terms of geocaching, the word geocache is, and the pronunciation of this is here. See blah, 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 that for dictionary geocache,
yes.
Which includes a pronunciation in engine confirming the pronunciation. Oh, we got to go to that. Hold on. We got to guess. Somebody pull that up.
All right.
Does anybody have their computer hooked up to the speaker?
So, I mean, the way she pronounces it, it's a typical down under pronunciation.
Wait, hold on.
For the term cash.
Come on, chaps, make her speak proper like what I does. Seriously, great show, though, guys. Keep it up. Happy caching from Stu C UK. It says, "P.S. I have paid my fine for picking on a host and made a suitable donation."
See, you can get away with stuff like this by making contributions.
On everybody.
Mm-hmm. All right, I don't know if this is going to actually. Ow. Let's see if this brings it up.
Apologies to the host and the listeners. My accent's probably going to change rapidly within a single sentence or two as I try and explain. Right.
Explain what? Why you say cash?
Geocache.
Why attack like I do, Mike? And that was several accents in one sentence to start with. I was born and brought up in Shoebox at Middle Road, to reference Monty Python.
Is she speaking English? I'm just checking.
Yes, I am, you daft buggers. Anyway. But now that title,
what she's basically telling us, her accent is a bit muddy, is what it is. It's just a mutt of accents.
I was born and brought up in the northeast of England. And born in Darlington, lived in Newton Aycliffe, then moved to Durham when I was about 10. Uh-huh. Now, northeast Durham in the northeast of England is too far south for Geordie, which is near Castle, and too far north for Yorkshire. So the
is that Yorkshire?
Yeah, that's Yorkshire for Americans.
Yorkshire, yeah. For those that know about these things, accents in the UK can change within about 20 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So, if you want to know what my accent probably started out like, if you've ever seen a film called Billy Elliot, that does a pretty reasonable Durham accent. It's a very, it's very specific. So I was there for till I was 18. Then I went to university and moved down to the Midlands and Nottingham. So start with sort of northeast, and I then sort of stayed there for 15 years and added a good chunk of Eyup Midduck. It's a bit blackout over our Bill's mother's. Nottingham speak to it.
I was going to say, is she speaking English again?
I'm not sure. Speaking English.
Hey, Andy, by the way, Andy.
And then...
Oh, Andy?
Yeah.
We're not live, by the way.
Oh,
well,
shoot.
That's probably a good thing.
Oh, my God. Well, we'll keep the podcast going. Oh, my God. It's not starting.
Are you recording it?
We're recording it on the thing, so we'll just talk like it is, and then I'll just add on to it.
Oh, well, that's all right.
So should I tell the chat room we're not going live at all?
No, we'll go live, anyway. But yeah. Oh, my God. I didn't hit the little green button.
Hey, chat room, we've been talking for about 20 minutes now.
Yeah. So sorry about that, guys, in the chat room.
If you only hear the first 20 minutes of
if you're listening to the podcast, you'll get the whole thing, but you'll get the second half of the show on video now. So yeah, go ahead.
I just told Andy that. Hey, we're not live, Andy, by the way.
Wow, I can't believe we're doing that.
Wait, we got to catch everybody up.
Catch everybody up on the video.
We just read a letter about how Sarah's accent is just atrocious and it's just all over the place.
Right.
The way she says Kaish and all that. And she's somehow attempting to explain to us why she has a butchered accent the way
Geocache.
She does.
Yes.
Everybody's caught up.
To add to the Northeastern first 18 years, I then went to university in Nottingham and added a lot of East and stayed there for about 15 years and added a lot of East Midlands sort of as an overlay. So it's a mix. Mm-hmm. And a few years. And then in August 2000, I moved over to New Zealand. And I don't think I've added too much New Zealand to it. If you want a New Zealand accent, listen to... the name's just gone.
Well, Hugh Jackman's probably close enough for that. For Americans, I think that's about as close as we can get.
You want to fight?
Not Russell Crowe. He's an Aussie.
Okay.
Oh, Russell Crowe, you're right.
Oh, Russell Crowe's not
Russell Crowe-ing it, sorry. You're fighting.
Geocache.
Yeah, so
But you probably picked up the term cache.
So where's cache come from?
Yeah, where's cache?
In New Zealand, right? And that's how they... I know Australians pronounce cache, but New Zealanders would pronounce it that way as well.
I have Australian friends, and they don't say cache.
You have Aussie friends?
I do.
Yes.
I have English friends. I have Aussie friends.
Aussie engineers pronounce the term cache.
Cache. So, yeah, it's cash. It's cash.
I say cash, as in money.
I think I'm just gonna start calling it cache.
Cache. Yeah, it's just to drive people.
Sarah, you say cash.
Yeah.
I say cache.
Yeah, we'll drive people nuts.
Tomato,
it's great.
Tomato, potato.
There you go. Let's call the whole thing off. Now that's
no, that's the DNF.
So we want to thank so that we can start the international thing from Stuck. That
CK.
Yes.
CUK.
Yes. So yeah, it's
anyway.
Stuck UK.
Now everybody's got a little bit. Who's listened to the podcast? Anyways, has now got a better understanding where Sarah has come from and why she speaks so funny. So that's good.
And just a cacophony of sounds.
And again, for all the people that are over in New Zealand and England, just send all hate mail to headhardhead@geocachingpodcast.com. It's fine. We love you guys, and you know it. So yeah,
I'm over in the UK next month.
Are you?
Till about the middle of October. So if anybody wants to say hi,
Wow, where are you going? You going back to Derbyshire?
Well, I'm flying. It's not quite fixed. I'm trying to find out which elderly relatives are available where.
Which ones are still alive?
The ones are still kicking that you have access.
But I'll be around Richmond, which is North Yorkshire, for a week or so. May head up to Scotland. That's not confirmed. If I do, that'll be Cooper, which is just north of Edinburgh and across a bit. And then back down to the East Midlands to see Paul's parents. And any Keisha's around there, please come. I'm going to be going stir crazy for the week I'm there.
So just out of curiosity,
you better hurry before the EU takes away your passport.
That's it.
I'm traveling on a Kiwi one.
Ah, okay. There you go.
Oh.
Don't get me started on that.
So, about the pudding with Yorkshire. Isn't that where that comes from? I mean,
pudding comes from Yorkshire.
Yorkshire, yeah, I've heard of Yorkshire pudding.
Oh, yeah, it's a Yorkshire pudding. Yeah. My grandmother used to make brilliant ones. I can't.
Did they invent pudding?
A Yorkshire pudding is savory.
I thought that was a dirty word.
Americans don't know what savory means.
I gave her a Yorkshire pudding.
We just know sweet and sour. That's all it is. That's the extent of our palate. Again, all hate mail goes to Head Hard
Hat. A proper Yorkshire pudding you have with roast beef or another sort of roast meat.
Ah.
Yeah, all right. I'll give you that.
They're good with gravy poured on them.
That's how we like
our
pudding.
Yorkshire pudding is green.
Yeah, that's how we like it. We're in the South here. I'm just saying everything's either deep fried or covered in gravy, so that's how it is.
Or both.
All right, so we'll move on, and folks, you'll just have to listen to more of our podcasts and find out more about the amazing life of Kiwis.
Let's see how we got here.
Some of us have been more disposed out of than others. I'm just saying. Disposed, displaced, whatever. It's all good. So, Taz, I'm going to hit this little button over here, and then I'll let you do your part.
The news. The fourth message in a bottle was sent out on Monday, August 7th. Ahoy, mateys.
Oh, that was good.
That was worse than Sarah.
Ooh,
oh, yeah. He's got to work on his pirate. Anyways, go for it.
I'm a buddy yank with a awful southern accent. So,
did he say budding yank?
bloody yank.
Ah, okay. Yank. Okay, either way, go for it.
The final week is here. The lost treasures of Mary Hyde awaits. You must work alone this week, August 7th through the 13th, to collect 25 gold coins individually on the Friends League and earn the final map piece souvenir. Uh-oh. Earn extra gold coins for finding geocaches with high difficulty and terrain ratings. If you earn map pieces 1 through 4, the lost treasures will soon be yours. This week, only we're opening up all D&T ratings for traditionals, excluding premium only in the geocaching apps to all members.
All right. So good stuff. Okay. We did get the third piece, and I'm going to bring it up for you fine folks to get a gander. Let me see if I can bring it up here.
Andy, time check. What time did you get your email in?
Mine came at 2:16.
Yeah, mine came at work, so it was.
Yeah,
it was during the day.
Yeah, so let me bring this in.
11:16. So yeah, 7 hours ago.
That would do it. Okay, so here we go. Unfortunately, the photos that they have are very low resolution, so you really can't zoom these puppies in. So I don't think it's anything that's going to have interlacing or anything like that involved with this particular puzzle. But it looks like it's the lower right hand corner, and if you look.
Marks the British Virgin Islands.
Yeah, it's got a bunch of X's there. So I think by this time they hit about the three-quarter mark of the rum bottle and just started putting X's everywhere just for fun. So this should be interesting, and I don't think we're going to be able to get anything out of this because all they're giving is, you know, N digit, W digit, and that's it for any kind of coordinates. So there isn't anything to add to it.
Are we sure that this means anything?
Well, you know, I thought it was like, okay, what could it possibly be? Letters to numbers gave us G and V for the first one, E and L for the second one, H and P for the third one. So that's like not sounding right.
No, I thought maybe the items around there had something to do with it, and I couldn't make any correlation with those.
Yeah, adding them up doesn't make sense, at least at this point in time.
And there's like six X's on this one this time, and there's only three sets of coordinates that they gave, so I have no idea how this is working. So, but that's what we've got. And this week, you fine folks don't have to worry about relying on the Friend League. You have to go out and get 25 gold coins.
Can do in one cache.
Can you really?
Yes.
Now, one of the things
if you do a 5-5,
okay,
you get the 5 points for the cache,
right?
And then 2 points for every difficulty and terrain points. So that would be a total of 10 difficulty terrain points. So that's 20 points.
So that's how that works.
I'm gonna rock this weekend with Westbend. I'm getting like 200 caches, 200 plus caches.
Yeah.
It depends on whether they've got favorite points as well. Didn't they get some?
Yeah, if a favorite point, if it's got 10 favorite points or more, you get 7 gold coins. So if you got a 5-5 with 10 favorite points, you get 27 points.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So you really do. It's find it still 5. Here, it actually says it. Okay, so if you look at the friend league and then click on the scoring, found it gives you 5. Difficulty gives you x2 to the difficulty level. So whatever your difficulty is, x2 will give you that. Terrain will also give you x2, whatever the terrain is. Found a geocache with 10 or more favorite points give you 7. They go over again and say difficulty in terrain x2. I don't know why they did that. Attend any event, you get 15.
Right there.
There you go, man. You got them. Mm-hmm. You're going to be checking them in there. I'm glad you're on my friend league, even though it doesn't matter.
I cranked it last week. Last time I checked it, I was like 400.
Yeah.
Last time I checked last week.
Retrieve a trackable.
I was friending up the ass. That was a friend to have. Thank you.
Yes.
That was a friend to have.
That's it. Retrieve a trackable still gets you 3, and drop off a trackable gets you 4. So, you know, for those ones that we saw that were just drop a trackable, pick a trackable, drop a trackable. Yeah. You're one, we know who you are now, I'm just saying. And then two, you only still only get so many points. So the higher the difficulty, the higher the terrain, the more geo coins that you get or gold coins you get when you do this.
So basically, you have to get at the most 5 caches.
Yeah, that gets you 25 gold
coins.
At
the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And just go out and do that.
Yeah, but those are 1.5, 1.5, and you might as well. I mean, you're going to get more than 5 of those anyway.
4 caches.
Yeah.
You're going to get more of those anyway.
Yeah.
Because you're going to get 9 points. Hang on. 5 plus.
See, the quickest way to stop a geocacher is to give them a math question.
Nine points for a cache is the minimum that you're going to get.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So go out and get those higher difficulty ones that you've been
caches. You need 3 1.5, 1.5. 3 park and grabs will get you.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
piece of cake.
Get out there, have some fun.
Even Taz can do that.
Even I might manage it. This time.
I almost did that today.
Wow. Well, see, there you go. All right, let's move on. We've got the today, matter of fact, the reason why, and I want to thank Sarah for coming up with the concept for this, because this is based mostly on difficulty and terrain, we thought it'd be a good idea to talk about geocaching difficulty and terrains for people so that they understand what it means. Not only is it going to help you with this week's challenge, it's just a good idea to know these things, because when you are either looking for a geocache, having that kind of a heads up definitely is a plus when it comes to geocaching, and also when you're hiding a geocache, knowing this is definitely a plus. So if you don't want to get hate mail, just like I do, know this stuff.
Well, really quick, let's start with the basics. What's the order? So someone says, hey, it's a 2-5.
Right.
What is that? Explain to them what a 2-5 is.
Well, why don't
difficulty first, terrain second.
Right. Yeah, so the main thing that you want to understand about difficulty is it's the difficulty of getting the log out of the geocache. Difficulty, or I should say it's a combination. That's a puzzle thing. That's a puzzle thing. Difficulty is actually finding the geocache.
Difficulty of finding the cache.
Not once you get to ground zero.
The location. But finding the cache.
Yeah, once you get to ground zero, how hard is it to actually locate the geocache? Is the best way to do it.
Now, if you have a puzzle, a hard puzzle,
right?
That is considered part of the finding of it, because solving that puzzle can be very difficult.
Knowing where to go.
Right.
I mean, I always look at caches and think that, yes, I know, that's the way I say it. think about it the other way around. Terrain's fairly obvious.
Yes.
It's how difficult is it to actually physically get to whatever location you need to be at. Mm-hmm.
Right. If you can just stroll up to it, it's a lower difficulty. If you got to worry about alligators, snakes, and pits to fall into, then it has a higher terrain value.
Terrain rating's a little higher, yeah.
Yeah. So that's the basics.
Difficulty is how difficulty is, if it's a puzzle, it's how easy is it to solve that puzzle, to work out where you actually need to get to, or if it's a traditional, how difficult is it to actually physically spot it when you're standing there?
Yeah, and you have to understand with puzzle caches, sometimes the puzzle cache is right there, and that's not the hard part. The hard part's getting the log out of the geocache.
Well, yeah, of course. But you usually, what I've learned in my many, many years of geocaching is is that if the puzzle is a hard puzzle, they will say, like, hey, difficulty is for the puzzle, not the hide.
Right, yes, which is good.
Yeah, you'll see that in the description.
You'll also see that with challenge caches as well.
Yeah, very much so.
The difficulty rating is how hard is it to qualify to sign that log, rather than how hard is it to spot it when you're standing by it.
Right.
And for those of you who have put out challenge caches to get to log 10 five fives and you don't make that a 5-5, shame on you.
Which we'll get into. Yeah, there's a lot of do's and don'ts when it comes to difficulty and terrain. The main thing that you want to keep in mind is difficulty and terrain ratings have what they call a 5-star scale. So, and those are broken up by halves. So there's a 1, which is the easiest. There's a 1.5, which is a little harder. There's a 2, and then it goes all the way up to 5 as being the most difficult. Same thing with terrain. It's a 5-star rating, and you go up, 1 being the easiest, 5 being the hardest. That's the main thing to understand. So to answer Scott's question, when he said, what does a 2.5, 2.5 mean, that's right in the middle of all of it. That's right in the middle of the difficulty rating and right in the middle of the terrain rating.
Mm-hmm. So, and I will say that those will vary based upon the geography of your location.
Yes, your location
of where you live, where the cache in general is. If you're out in the mountainous areas, something that a Houstonian would say, "Hey, that thing's like a 4."
Uh-huh.
It might be a 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely, depending on where you are looking for the geocache. And again, that could be like Sarah said earlier with language. There could be a 20-mile spread, and they look at things slightly different. So just keep an idea. It's a guide for what you have, and don't take it too seriously until you start understanding the norm for that area.
Yeah, I mean, a 5 terrain is like on like is on an island.
Yeah. But well, like same
in
here.
Colorado, a 5 terrain is like, you know,
repelling
mountain, you know, repelling.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a million 5s in our area around here because we have a lot of lakes and a lot of small islands.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
And one of the things about a 5 in terrain is you have to have some kind of special equipment to get to where the geocache is. A kayak could be special equipment. So that's very popular in this part of the state.
Now let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
If you need, say, either a 24-foot ladder or an extension post that reaches 20 feet up in the air in order to get a cache out of a tree that you can't climb out to the limb, would you count that as a 5 terrain or not?
I would, just for the fact that you need special equipment to do it.
Yep, me too.
That's how I would designate
it. If it's an unclimbable tree, yes.
Yeah.
I agree with that, but my compadres around here, it's so common around here to do that most people put that as, say, 2.5.
Three. How do they get to it, though? How do they get to it? Do they shimmy? I mean, is it...
No, you need a
pole.
I quite literally bought a 24-foot golf ball retriever.
There you go.
Specifically,
that's the way to do it.
That's extendable, so that I can get these caches.
Yeah, yeah.
You can get an extender ladder too. The kind of ladders are like this big, but they extend. You know, like my cameras, like this big, but they extend to like 15 feet.
Yes,
and since most people have figured that out here, it's become so commonplace that people have that in their car. And so, you know, just whip that sucker out and extend and boom, you're there. And no, don't go there.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Most geocachers are used to whipping it out. I'm just saying.
Yeah. For a number of years up here, they were like high tree placement was becoming like the norm. It died down now. It doesn't, but like for a while, it was like every single hide was.
Well, we had
a lot of those in Texas and stuff, but you literally had to climb the tree.
Right.
Here, you don't have to climb the tree. You just have if they say a tool of the trade on there, you know darn well you better bring your little extender to get that right out of the tree.
Well, here we've got so many pine trees, what they end up doing is taking an 10-foot pine tree and bending it and then tying the geocache to the top of it and let it go and going that way. And you can have your own creative way of getting your recovery with it. But, yeah, if you can't climb it and you need something to get to it, yes. Then it's a five, and as far as I'm concerned with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the one thing.
I'm just thinking of the fives around me.
Yeah.
And most of them are either require a boat.
Oh, yeah.
Or a kayak.
Yeah.
Mm. Or you then end up with there's a couple that would require ropes. But there's one thing I would say, there's one or two of the older caches that were. Think about what that were placed before the rating sort of got agreed.
Right.
So some of the old, were sort of 2000s, 2001-ish one. I tend to ignore their ratings because, they just put with whatever they felt the placer felt like at the time.
Do you think it's changed that much over the years that people have gotten lax on it?
Yeah,
I see a ton of 1-1s and 1.5, 1.5. So that should be, a 3, 2.5 or something like that.
They're automatically doing the lighter to it. They're saying it's easier than it should be.
Yeah, I don't. Well,
vegetation grows.
Yeah, I noticed that. Me and Jesse, we went out this weekend, and we were doing this one trail, and it was, none of the caches were 1.5, 1.5, but they were all 1.5, 1.5.
Right.
Yeah. And it's very frustrating because, you're like, oh, you have to, literally bushwhack 75 feet into like unbushwhackable, like trees.
Oh, yeah. You need a machete to get to it. Yeah.
You're cutting yourself.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating. But I didn't look at the data on those, but a lot of times, like the older ones, the way they were made, it was just, you didn't have to change the settings, so people just left them.
Yeah.
I see that a lot too.
Now, we actually had a situation when I first moved here, so this would be back around 2008 or so when I first started getting into geocaching. We hit a 500-year drought here, and Falls Lake, which is the main drinking water lake for the entire area, turned into Falls Creek. And literally, they had to... they voluntarily changed the terrain ratings down for that because you could walk to them. You didn't need the boat. Whether people agree with that or not, I don't know. But I honestly remember them doing that, where the terrain for any of the lake ones, literally you could just walk to it. Interesting stuff.
Well, if you get one placed by a very, very new cacher, who's only found 20 or 30, they'll vastly overstate the terrain or difficulty rating because they've not...
All right, guys, keep talking. I'm running. Keep talking. I'm running for an FTF.
Oh, really?
I'll beat you in the car.
Bring it along.
I'll be back.
All right. You'll be the second person to do it if you get it.
Bye.
All right, so Mr. Scott's off.
Yeah.
And Scott's going off for a first to find. The only time this has happened, it happened once, the first time on the GeoSnippets Reboot podcast, where wife Amy, right in the middle of the broadcast, went off for a first to find and got it. So she's the first person that I know of for a geocaching show that did a live thing. So we'll see if Scott can do a hangout with us and get. So anyways, yeah, there's a lot of stuff with terrains on how that changes. The part that I find interesting is also for, and this deals more with the size of the geocache, but it kind of falls under the same, give misconceptions about a geocache, is between a geocache size of other and unknown. Because a lot of times if somebody tells me, all right, I'm going for a geocache that's a 2222, that gives me a set idea of what that means, of what I'm going to have to be prepared for to get a geocache. Yeah. When you have a size of other or unknown, that's completely, you have no idea. It could be anything.
Or not chosen.
Or not chosen, I should say. Mm-hmm. That could be anything, and that makes it, to me, even more difficult looking for a geocache because you have certain perceived ideas of what the geocache is. When terrains in that are off, that also will throw things. Where if somebody says, okay, I want to make my geocache more difficult, I'm going to give it this either very, very light or very, very difficult terrain and difficulty to throw people off. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. I mean, like I was going for one today, and I went down this walking path, and there's this fence by the walking path, and my, you know, meter saying it's about 5 feet on the other side of the fence, and I'm looking down there, and it's like, oh, that's all overgrown stuff. Let me look at the DT on this thing, and of course the terrain was 3.5, and it's pretty hilly and all overgrown and stuff, and. Yeah, it's like I had to go around down along the fence. Of course, I didn't find it, but that's another story.
Yeah, don't.
But yeah, you know, you get an idea of, and you're in those situations of, okay, is this going to be able to be found right here on this little trail, or is it going to be down that valley?
Yes, and that's going to definitely change the terrain rating on something like that. Don't think, well, I'm not going to give it an accurate terrain or difficulty. It's just like saying, I purposely have the coordinates off 80 feet because I want to make it more difficult to find. Don't do that. Same thing with difficulty in terrain. I'm just going to give it an inaccurate thing to make it harder to find. That just aggravates geocachers. It's not fun where if it's actually, and it's worse for me personally, because if I'm going to be going down into a holler or a valley or into some area where my big old butt's got to get back up, because my perception is this is a 4, which means I'm going to be going down into this particular terrain, and you're not. Oh, not good. Don't do that.
It's that similar thing. If there are hazards nearby, or please stick it in the cache prep, in the page. Things like there's a, you know, this bit's safe, but there is a cliff nearby.
Yes.
Just that sort of thing is just good to know for people. I mean,
oh yeah,
my kids are teenagers now or beyond. But if I was, there were caches I wouldn't go to when they were three or I wouldn't have gone to when they were 3 or 4 that I'd quite happily go with to them with at 13.
So, yeah. Well, it's just like
looking at the one that I DNF'd, and it's like it's got the thorns icon, it's got the no not scroller accessible.
Yeah.
You know. So, you know, some good attributes on there.
Yeah, and another thing that you want to also keep in mind for the terrain ratings, if the understanding of what wheelchair accessible means. So basically, if you give a terrain rating of 1, that means that a person in a wheelchair can wheel itself. It's an asphalt or a concrete surface, not gravel, not sand, not dirt. That is not a 1. Concrete and asphalt, hard surface, the person can wheelchair up to the geocache and able to retrieve it without getting out of the chair is basically what you want to go for that. Yes. A lot of times people give the wrong ratings, and wheelchair people look for that 1 rating just for that reason.
Exactly.
Because nobody wants to get partially there and then realize that, okay, I've got 4 inches of sand that's now in front of me to get to the geocache at the last part of it. And that's not a 1.
Or worse, a step.
Or a step, or any of that stuff. Yeah, you got to be able to get the wheelchair there all the way up to the geocache. That's a 1. But make sure if you've got one of those that you label it a 1, because people with wheelchairs look for that. You know, we've got so many people out there that, you know, love to geocache and are wheelchair bound, and they need that. So make sure you mark that accordingly. Yeah, okay, so let's just kind of go over briefly some of the stuff, and we're going to have links in all the show notes to what the different ratings are, and you don't have to write all your notes down now. We'll have ways for you to get to this. But there's a thing right off of Groundspeak where they kind of go over, and we'll just kind of touch here what, matter of fact, I'm going to bring this up on my screen here and for people to see, and then you can kind of go along with us. But what a one is, and go from there. So let me bring this up. There we go. Okay, there we go. So some of the stuff that we've got for here is basically it's just ratings for difficulty and terrain. They give a lot of cool tips. A lot of them we've already gone through. The main thing is, and again, they show what difficulty is. Effort needed to solve and find the cache and the logbook at ground zero. A one, and we'll just kind of go through this. I'll take a couple, and we'll just kind of do round robin. A one on difficulty is easy to find or solve within a few minutes. Personally, for me, it basically just has a big glowing arrow that says, here's where the geocache is, difficulty. A one terrain, the hike is less than half a mile or 0.8 kilometers, and wheelchair accessible, attribute required. Most likely paved and flat. A rating of 1.5 is difficulty easy to find or solve within 10 to 15 minutes. And a terrain of 1.5 is the hike is less than a half mile, most likely flat, but may not be wheelchair accessible. So that's where you get into that gray area between a 1 and a 1.5. If you've got things where people are in a wheelchair are going to get stuck for any reason, make that a 1.5 instead of a 1. They may still go for it, but
right.
You give them the right...
Yeah, that's the sort of default, isn't it?
Yeah,
1.5.
Absolutely. Chad, you want to get the next one for twos?
Sure. So on 2 difficulty, relatively easy to find or to be solved within 30 minutes. On terrain, it's less than a 2 mile or 3 kilometer hike along a well-defined path with no significant elevation change or overgrowth. For 2.5 difficulty, it's a mild challenge but relatively easy for an experienced geocacher. And for terrain, it's the terrain may have small elevation changes or moderate overgrowth.
Then notice they say small elevation changes. Depending on what goes on, that's one person. Let's put it this way. If you are a Bible man, Rick, a small elevation change is like 1,000 feet at a 90 degree angle. If you're me, a small elevation change is 2 steps. And I'm just saying, so keep that in mind with that. Sarah, go ahead for number 3, if you would.
Okay. 3 is a somewhat challenging puzzle or hiding spot. And bear in mind that challenging puzzles is objective. It may be a 1 to somebody who knows that thing, and it may be a 5 to somebody who has no
idea. Yeah, a lot of this is subjective. True. Very subjective.
And terrain, it may require a 2+ mile or 3K hike or more on varied terrain and may have elevation changes or significant overgrowth.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead and do 3-5.
What on earth do you mean by overgrowth? Is that sort of under trees?
And it's significant overgrowth to me is where you've got a heavy ivy, heavy ferns, anything that's like knee high down. It to me is okay, is heavy overgrowth in that particular case.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether they meant say something like under serious tree cover which can throw out your GPS. Quite a bit.
Yeah,
no, I don't think they're talking about tree cover.
Ground cover, vegetation,
vines that are going to grab you, thorns.
Brambles, absolutely.
Yeah, 3.5 is a step up again. If you're doing these, they're not going to be strokes. They're quite either mentally or physically. 3.5 is quite difficult. Be prepared for a mental challenge. Or quite strenuous. Defined as an extended hike on widely variable terrain.
Yeah. And that can vary. You can have hiking where you're in a park. You can have wildly variable terrain on trails and still be difficult. It doesn't necessarily mean just bushwhacking. and stuff right. like that. You can have all sorts of vines and elevations and holes and dips and steps and all sorts of stuff. Keep in mind of the type of person that you would have for a general geocacher and what they would consider quite strenuous or not, and just kind of use that as a general guide for that. For number four, very difficult. And for this for difficulty, very difficult, and may take special knowledge, advanced preparation, or multiple trips, which is most of the geocaches I go for. Very subjective when you talk about for very difficult. Special knowledge is you may have to Google something to get information like that. Advanced preparation.
not just Googling something, but applying maybe
some research,
applying that research itself.
Yes. Yeah.
So solving some funky coordinate.
Or you may have to have an interesting specialty in mineralogy or, you know, whatever. You might have to have those kind of things to run into that.
Death metal.
Yeah, or like death metal. A four, terrain, very strenuous movement that may include significant distance, overgrowth, swimming, or elevation changes. So just remember those GPS units, if it says you're standing on ground zero and you're next to a hill or a cliff, it could be 100 feet up. It could be in that holler 100 feet down. Just saying. So keep that in mind when it comes to that. Four and a halfs, extremely difficult for a difficulty. Most likely requires special knowledge or skills. For terrain, extremely demanding movement over potentially hazardous terrain. So if you're starting to get into that, holy cow, I need a harness kind of situation, or whatever, life jacket or whatever, specialty equipment. Yeah. Have a thing about heights. That's definitely a four and a half. You're getting to the point where you're almost going to have some kind of specialty equipment, and that's what that is.
And preferably another geocacher there with you.
At least one with you.
Or at least another person.
Yes.
Yeah, the one at the top of Mount Narahoe impending doom is only a four and a half.
Yes.
And that is the most knackering cache I have ever been up to.
Is that good?
Not good.
Okay, just checking.
It's steep, it's scoria, so it's sort of scree slopes, and I damn nearly didn't get up there. I wouldn't have done it except, and again, when you're getting into higher terrain, think about what the weather's going to do.
Yeah.
There's ones that I do in dry weather, but if there's rain threatening or high winds, if I look out the window, I can see the skyline, which is a ridge across the valley. And on a calm day, I'm up there, no problems. But most other days, nope. Wouldn't go up there if it's windy. Wouldn't go up there if it's wet.
Well, one of the things that you were talking about last week was slides and stuff. I mean, you got to be really know where you're going and what the conditions are. If you're like Chad, where he went to Brazil, I'm sure there's all sorts of things that you had to understand before you actually jump into that. So, when you're up in the 4.5, 4 mark or higher, you need to know what you're getting into. With these kind of geocaches, not necessarily on the difficulty part, but on the terrain part, you need to know what you're doing and what you're getting yourself into. And above all, know your limitations. If you're into something and it's like, oh heck no, don't do it.
I've turned around and said I'm not doing this solo. I'm willing to do this, but I'm not doing this solo, because if I fall, I'm gonna injure myself to a point that I'm not gonna be able to get up, and I need someone to call the ambulance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like that. I have a very healthy respect for my own skin.
Yes.
There's plenty of it, and I respect it.
That's it. And a lot of times for me, I'll go looking for a geocache and stumble on a high terrain area and realize I'm just not dressed for whatever this is.
Yeah.
And just not prepared for it. So that's how that goes. Chad, I'll let you go ahead and finish off number five there for five star.
Number five on difficulty. The most extreme, mentally challenging, requires special knowledge, skills, and significant effort to find and solve or open, and possibly knack that cash owner to death until they give you the answer.
Or find somebody else who solved it and then talk very nicely to them.
Please.
And most CEOs are very nice about their puzzles. They want them to be solved, and they will give you little hints and help you along the way. So, on five terrain, require special equipment such as a scuba gear, a boat, rock climbing gear, etc.
Excellent. All right. We got a break in here for Mr. Scott Burks. How are we doing, Scott, out in the field?
Wandering around. He's our roving reporter.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Where are we at?
He doesn't want to say. He's not found it yet.
Going for it.
All right.
Yeah. Oh, well.
So are you actually, how far from the... Line? We actually just finished up on the whole five-star, what each level is. So we're all set for you.
I'm just looking forward to him live streaming the encounter with the LEO.
Yeah. So how far are you from the geocache?
So we are here. We are looking. We're walking to it.
All right.
Jesse's ahead of me. I can barely hear you guys.
That's all right. Keep going. We're listening.
We're just trying not to laugh.
On the other side. What do you mean?
Somebody behind you.
All right,
you.
Hold on. I got to run to the other side, guys. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Whoa.
For those of you listening to the audio, we can see pictures of a man in glasses.
Wait, I can barely hear you guys.
So we're just waiting to see what's going to happen.
Can you hear me okay?
So we can hear you fine.
Fine.
Okay. Okay, I'm walking to it. Hold on.
All right. So tell us your terrain. What are you walking in?
Oh, I got it. Hold on. Here you go. Here you go, guys. I've got it in my hand.
All right. So
I've got the geocache in my hand.
All right. So we got to see. Now Scott left.
Opening it up.
Drum roll, please.
Drum roll. Is it clean sheets?
Let's see here. There we go. Opening it up.
This is
a blank log.
Yay! Oh. All right.
No, it is.
All right.
It is a blank log, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. There it is. Now, Scott is the second person ever to do a live broadcast.
Oh, not 10. Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Yes, give it a pin.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Scott is the second person on both of our podcasts to ever go out on a live first to find and actually get it.
He's on the geocaching podcast, and he's recording right now.
That's right. So Scott's the first one on the geocaching podcast to actually go out and got the first to find.
Right there.
Where are you from?
We're from here.
We're from right here.
Okay, where are you from?
Hello.
Oh, hey. Are you?
What are you doing here?
You visiting?
We are here on holiday.
I got people here on holiday from the Czech Republic.
Wow, tell them hello. Right
now. Hello, tell them there's somebody listening.
They're from the Czech Republic.
Yeah.
Wow. Well
how
done,
are you
guys.
Here?
Are we today?
Today only?
Yeah.
From Prague, Frankfurt, and here.
Wow.
It's insane.
Busy day. Is it your
birthday? I would let you have it if you had known that. Jesus.
Okay.
So the people I'm with are from the Czech Republic.
Oh, okay.
And they're here on holiday for the day.
How soon did you beat them out, Scott?
What'd you say?
How soon did you beat them out? Were they like getting to the same spot?
Oh, they're with us. They're co-FTFing it.
Oh, okay. There you go. Good stuff.
Yeah. They got it too. They were here the same time we were.
Absolutely.
But if we didn't drive quick, if we didn't make all the greens, they would have beat us. So that's 103, guys.
All right, man.
3 months in a row right there.
There it is. You got August.
There you go, boys.
All right.
That's
so
really early in the month, too. So.
And got to meet some fine geocachers from the Czech. That's awesome.
Yeah. Geocachers from the Czech Republic. How about that?
Way to go, Scott.
All right.
Nice seeing you.
Nice seeing you guys, too. That's excellent.
I'm going to go.
All right, man. Thank you. That was awesome.
I don't think I'll be back in time. It's over. But there you go. FTF.
Congratulations.
Right there.
Okay, good to hear from you.
The cash is from the Czech Republic.
All right,
guys.
Way to go.
Bye.
Be good. We'll talk soon.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. There you go. So that's That's what happens when you do live broadcasts. You have
special guest appearances.
Special guest appearances and surprises. And you know what? That's all the part of the fun of geocaching. That is so cool. Yeah. So there you go. Live from the Geocaching Podcast, a FTF. Way to go, Scott Burks.
I was almost disappointed there wasn't an LEO interaction with
him. Yeah, well, you know, we'll save that for another one.
Next week.
And I want to also give a special note that Shorty Nets went with him on that. So excellent stuff that to have that live on the show. So there you go, folks. That's what you have. We talked about difficulty in terrain and got the special surprise of having Mr. Burks go out and get an FTF. And, yeah, he's still keeping that streak going.
Oh
yeah. So I would say that I noticed when I was looking at that, it just happened to be dark with you guys.
Yes.
With him when he's out back. If you're night caching, knock your difficulty and terrain ratings mentally up by at least a notch.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you think of it, yes. Think of whatever you're going at as an increase, because that's definitely
unless it's a night cache, and then knock it down if you're in the daylight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have found a night cache in the daylight.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I got those star tacks. You got a bright enough flashlight. Those star tacks can still
work.
Still light up.
Wow. Yeah, so there you go. That's excellent. And so you got a nice bit of information about geocaching. Difficulties in terrains. We're also going to have if you still confused and you still don't know what to do, we do have a link in our show notes that goes to the Clay Jar Networks. Clay Jar is a geocacher where basically all you have to do is go to the page and answer a bunch of questions, and it'll give you a rough based on what your selections are and to what the terrain and difficulty should be. So that just makes it a little easier if you're still not quite sure, especially if you're a newer geocacher, is to do that. The only other note that I want to really bring up for new geocachers as well is make sure that you at least change your rating to what you think it should be. There's many times a noob type of situation where they'll put it as a 1-1 because they forgot to change and put in the details about terrain and... all right, that's Scott going back.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
Okay.
Hello, it's Joe. How are you doing?
Are we still on the air?
Yeah, we're going to finish up right now.
Okay, yeah. So we got the FTF. Sorry, it was crazy. I was trying to
blame. That's right.
So we got the FTF, and the people who we were running with to air quote beat out, turns out we wound up sharing it anyway, but they were from the Czech Republic in Chicago for a day.
Oh, jeez.
They just got into town today.
Wow.
From the Czech Republic,
and went
to have the alerts set up.
Yeah, I wonder what they were thinking.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
But yeah, so that's who we got the FTF with the family from the Czech Republic.
That's awesome. You just never know when you go geocaching.
They had no idea that they were on a podcast. So, what are we? The second podcast ever got an FTF live on air?
Yes, sir. The first one was Wife Amy on Geo Snippets Reboot, and then you are the second. You are the second with and the first one on Geocaching FTF. Podcast.
Yay!
I'm wondering how many of his mates he'll get to teed up to have cations scheduled to go live mid broadcast.
There you go. Well, we've had close ones before where Scott's like, it's just out of range.
This was like 4 miles. I was like, I got to run for 4 miles.
Yeah. All right.
This way, they could put one outside my door, and I'd still miss on the first to find with the professional chasers that are around me.
All right, good stuff. Well, congratulations to Scott. We're going to wrap this puppy up and then go from there. But there you go, folks. And Mr. Scott Burks out there live, keeping his streak alive. I'm going to sit there and go, okay, how long is this going to go? So we'll see. Keep the suspense, Scott.
I don't mean to. He said you put it a 4 mile swim to go for it.
That's right. All right, good stuff. All right, so let me wrap this up, and we will go from there. All right, excellent. You just never know. You just never know. All right, let's do this. Thank you for subscribing to the Geocaching Podcast. Please be sure to join us each and every Wednesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of the Geocaching Podcast right here on the Geocaching Podcast website at www.geocachingpodcast.com/live. The video version of our show is available on YouTube, and the audio version is available on our home website, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and many of your favorite podcatchers. We love hearing from our viewers and listeners, so please visit us through our social media sites or contact us via our voicemail line at 630-31-VOICE. The Geocaching Podcast is a Head Hard Hat production and is produced by Andy Smith, Scott Burks, Chad Courtney, and Sarah T.S. This show is copyright 2017 by Andrew Smith. All rights reserved. So I'm waiting for the LEO. All right, folks. Have a good one. Have a safe one. I was waiting for the blue and red lights behind. I was going to keep the show going, but we'll let Scott off on this one, and we'll catch him next time for the LEO.
I got pulled over. I'm on my way home.
So. All right. Have a good one, folks. Have a safe one, and we will see you fine folks next week on the Geocaching Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye, folks.
All right. Well, there you go, Scott. You made history. That's awesome.
Okay.
Excellent stuff.
There you go.
All right, folks. Well, have a good one. And, you know, I'm curious to see what their reaction for the check in the middle of the night. Where was that? Like in a gas station or something? Or
no, it was like it was behind a strip mall.
Oh, cool.
I was
going to
say, who's driving?
I'm driving.
Yeah, Scott's driving. So it's one of
the.
So I can't imagine what their thought was of being out in the dangerous United States, and then suddenly have somebody there with them in a dark parking lot in the back. That's something.
Yeah.
Wow.
They were pretty hardcore. We were on the wrong side of the fence at first.
Yeah.
And the cache was sticking through, but it wouldn't come through. We had to pull it out from the other side.
Oh.
And so when Scott went around, the guy was, like, jumping over the fence. It was like a 10-foot fence, and he's trying to climb this.
Oh, my God.
Gigantic fence.
Oh, my God.
To get the FBI. We're like, we'll share. Right? Yeah, no, we're like, you're good. Don't worry. We'll share. It's okay.
That's funny. Holy cow.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Well, there you go.
Yay.
That's excellent. That's one that you'll have to be able to talk, Scott, with. That'll be a good conversation piece.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right,
boys. All right, I'll see you next week.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Okay.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.